We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
The
Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters. Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and GSPN. I'm Ty Windisch, one of your hosts here as always with the... Can't even think of a good enough word. The indescribable Rohan Kadi.
Oh, I like it.
Rohan, sir, how's it going?
Doing well, Ty. All things are going well. I like the Milwaukee Bucks have won two games in a row for what feels like the first time in forever. it feels like a good time. I know it was last week. Okay, I know it was last week. Last time the Bucks won two games in a row, but after two straight losses and a little bit of a downturn they've been on, it's nice to have some positive vibes.
It is. This is a self-proclaimed positive pod because the Bucks scraped out two wins on a back-to-back, mind you, without Giannis, without Chris, without Serge Ibaka. It's a whole can of worms there, it seems. We're not going to get into that now. So more on that, I think, later this week, maybe, on this podcast feed. But nonetheless, without two very important players and Serge, the Bucks managed to win back-to-back games against Indiana and against the Raptors, both at home, I believe. And we're here to just give out some flowers, not just for those two games, really, I think, for a lot of performances this season. Clearly, the Bucks are very used to playing without Chris this year, unfortunately, and, you know, have missed Giannis for a lot of games, too. What have the Bucks played? 45, I believe, with Bobby Portis and Javon Carter being the two guys to play all 45 games. Giannis has missed 10. Drew has missed 11. Chris has missed 38. You know, the list goes on. Pat Connaughton has only played 29. Joe Ingles, who I'm sure we'll talk about later, only played 13 games. So there's just been a lot of games without full personnel, especially offensively. I think that's mattered, but certainly on the defensive end as well. So let's give out some flowers. I think there is a clear place to start. For once, it's not Giannis. He hasn't played in four games. So we love you, Giannis. Not this pod. Drew Holiday. I mean, we had talked earlier in the year about Brooke Lopez making a great All-Star case. And I would still love to see Brooke Lopez in the All-Star game. But I think Drew Holiday may be coming out of the scene as a better candidate for the All-Star game. One, because they love flashy point totals and everything. And Drew, just against the Raptors, had a season-high 37 points on 61-50 shooting splits. Really, just like doing
zero
everything
free
the Bucks
throws.
Need. Yeah, don't even give that the officiating in that game. The Bucks made the Bucks won anyway. Seven assists for Drew.
Billy Kennedy put on a show though when he was announcing his.
He always does.
I mean, in arena, everyone was laughing. It was so funny.
I mean, we'll have to talk about the scuffle when we get to Brooke because that was. What Brooke said about it after, I don't know if you saw what he said, just really unhinged. Only seven assists for Drew, and I say only seven because it snapped a streak of double-double points assists for three straight games before that. So the first three games without Giannis. Two of those losses in Miami, but wouldn't exactly pin that on Drew. He played well in one. They had trouble making shots in the second one, but a little Miami flu could have been at play. But Drew follows 35-11 against the Pacers with 37-7 against the Raptors. Really effective shot making in both. I think we will go into the different parts of his game that have been really impressive. And obviously, you know, the defensive constant that he is. He had two steals in both of those games and a great block against the Raptors. But he's just stepped up. I mean, plain and simple, Drew Holiday has said, you need me to be the first option for a week? I can do that. And he did it. I mean, really impressive, especially, you know, the Bucks have not lost more than four straight all season. They'd lose both Miami games. They're in a spot where they could match that on a back-to-back, which back-to-backs are never easy, especially without Giannis playing either game. And he just averages 36-9 to make sure the Bucks don't lose those games. Rohan, take it away. What have you seen that you've been most impressed with from Drew Holiday this season?
Well, first, I believe I saw that he is the first Bucks guard with back-to-back 35-plus point games since Michael Redd.
2006, I believe, yeah.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Shout out to Michael Redd, by
the
way.
Two legends.
Original 22 right there. Sorry, but Chris is better.
You don't have to apologize. I think he knows.
Yeah. But one thing I've really, really enjoyed from Drew Holiday recently is that he just looks more in control. I know a lot of the times earlier in the season when there was like Giannis was missing some games, and even when Giannis was playing and obviously Chris was out, we felt like Drew was a little bit out of control on the offensive end. He would be taking some weird shots. He would be just like taking some like early shot clock jumpers, like some weird step back. And maybe he still is. Maybe the shot selection hasn't really changed. But the thing is, now they're going in. those shots where you're like, oh, no, 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 they turn into, oh, no, 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 yes. Because they're actually going in. And if they make the basket, that solves all your problems. But it just feels like he's more poignant about what he's doing. Everything he does seems more controlled. That's the word I keep coming back to. Because like I mentioned earlier in the season, it just felt like he was just vibing out there. He was just doing whatever he wanted on the offensive end. It was a little bit sloppy. It wasn't as clean. It wasn't as crisp. It wasn't as precise. But now it just feels like he's in his own offensive rhythm. He knows what shots he's going to be taking and making on a consistent basis. He knows where other guys are going to be out there on the court. It just seems like this team is starting to mesh a little offensively with Drew Holiday at the helm as the point guard. Because unfortunately, like you mentioned, Chris Middleton, who's like been the de facto point guard a lot of times, has been out. Drew Holiday has been forced to be like a true traditional point guard for a majority of the time, even though I'd say he's more a natural two guard.
I think you might be proving you're wrong.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
He's
looking like a bona fide star point guard, Ty. And you're right. All-star consideration might not be that far out of the realm of possibility.
This is his fourth best season in terms of assists per game, and he's playing less minutes than any of the first three. I've got to look. This might be number one in per minute assists. No, 13-14 he had more with New Orleans, but this is number two in terms of assists per 36 minutes for Drew. He's also scoring much more. That was his age 23 season is the first one. A lot of Bucks highs, though, for Drew, which I think is very interesting. The 19.4 points he's scoring per game are his highest in a Bucks uniform. As you mentioned, you know, a lot of this is just more load without Chris, but still it has to be done, and props to him for being able to do it. 7.4 assists is by far his career high, or his Bucks high again, I should say. You know, that's all the way up from 6.1 his first Bucks season in almost the same minutes. So you're talking about a guy who's become much more integrated within the offense and is making plays. 4.9 rebounds is the highest he's had in a Bucks uniform. 1.4 steals is a little lower. 3.1 turnovers is a little higher. These are just things you expect with, you know, some more usage on the offensive end. Couple interesting things, though. 38.8% from three is actually his lowest regular season Bucks total. It hasn't felt like it. It's not far off.
It feels wrong because you don't consider Drew to be like, oh my God, he's a regular 40% 3-point shooter.
But he has been in Milwaukee, which is, well, in the regular season. In the playoffs, it's like 30 and 31%. Last year, I think, is more understandable. Year one, you know, maybe he's at growing pains. I will say the positive for Drew's 3-point shooting is it feels like, I think, some of the best he shot as a Buck and most consistent. That may be because it's by far not just a Bucks high, a career high in terms of threes attempted per game. He's up to 6.3 threes per game and still knocking down nearly 39%. Hopefully that additional volume will help him continue to be consistent there. And his 2-point percentage is a little bit down. I think, again, that may just be having to do so much more, not having Chris Middleton and the extra space that gives you. But he's just stepped up.
It's just a trend we're seeing from the Bucks nowadays where just no one can finish at the rim.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of weird.
Pat's role against the Raptors where he basically had like a dunk and he missed it and he got it back and tried to do a hook shot and he missed it. And I was like, Pat, come on, man.
I was at the game.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get good clips because I was really close. Shout out to my girlfriend for that. I was trying to get like, oh, this is going to be a cool clip. And I'm just like recording. And then it's just Pat getting offensive rebound after offensive rebound, just to brick three layups in a row. And I was like, Pat, what are you doing? You're not Ersan Ilyasova here. Like, what's going on?
Maybe he talked to Ersan before the game. Ersan said, hey, keep my legacy alive. Who knows? We might talk about Pat a little bit later. He's played well. I don't know. The 3-point shot is rebounding. There's a couple of role players on the team who their 3-point percentage for the season looks really bad. Sometimes that's true. Bobby Portis, there's been a feeling that his shot has improved. You look at the splits and there's like no single month, including January, over 33%. It's like, oh, okay, well.
He's saving it for the playoffs, Todd.
I'll take it. I would honestly take it. But Pat's at 32%, but I think for December or for January, he's like 36%. So it's just a slow start. Is still weighing down that number for Pat. So not too worried there. But I think he's played overall pretty well. Not many exclamation points for him lately, but playing well. I think, do you have anything else on Drew? I just think against Toronto, and I know we just said his 2-point shooting has been down a little bit. The way he got to the rim whenever he wanted, despite like, it's not just like Van Vliet, who's a fine defender in his own right. Worse on ball than off ball, but fine. Kind of tiny. I mean, really not a good matchup for Drew.
You can't help yourself if you're tiny. Like Fred Van Vliet, very, very good defender, but he's still small.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this with Javon, right? Like Javon, sometimes a guy just gets too close to the basket and he just can't do anything if he can't swipe the ball anymore. But Drew is not, I'm not talking about going through Van Vliet. Drew is going through Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, like big, strong, physical, vaunted defenders. I mean, OG supposedly, according to some, should be ahead of Brook Lopez and DPOY. I didn't see that last night. I mean, he had a good defensive game. I think he does well against Giannis. He didn't do well, really, I think, against anyone on the Bucks. I mean, Drew was going through OG and Pascal like they weren't even there, which I think is not just to denigrate those two, but it's really a credit to Drew and his strength. And as a point guard, he's able to just get to the rim and make some really nice finishes with both hands. Like that to me, I thought was even more impressive because I felt like in these last couple of games, late in the games, he hasn't relied on the three as much. He's hit some clutch threes, but it feels like in big moments, he is going toward more certain shots more, whether it's the mid-range. And he's had so many late game heroics in the last several weeks here. The Knicks game too, right? Like he has just been a clutch, like star player in these games. And I think a lot of it is being more comfortable finishing at the rim and finishing in the mid range. Like he's really scoring at three levels lately. And I think that makes him so much harder to guard. And it's just been impressive as hell. I mean, we've seen in prior seasons, he'd have that same strength and ability to get to the rim and then miss. It just feels like maybe he's just on a heater. Maybe I know he puts in a lot of work on finishing with both hands, but it feels like he's kind of bridged that gap lately of being able to finish when he creates that space around the rim, and it's kind of made him unstoppable offensively.
It really, really has. And I think one thing that we've neglected to mention so far is, oh yeah, by the way, he's still probably the best perimeter defender in the NBA.
There's some who had the ball? I think it was Siakam, and like he's sizing up Bobby Portis, and Drew just runs over and takes it and gets a layup, and I was like, dude, that he looks so easy doing that. Like he's doing so much offensively. And he's like, I'm just going to go get two more quick. And it was just gone. Like his hands, I mean, we just talked about offensively, his defensive hands are really ridiculous.
It's truly wild. And it's something that this Bucks team has really been lacking in. I recognize that the Bucks have not been like a huge, huge team in terms of transition opportunities because they're just so slow and old.
Yeah,
old. About this, but we're not gonna talk about that. Shout out Serge Ibaka. but I crack myself up there.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But it's plays like that where you can just get out and get easy, efficient transition buckets when you just have nice, like, backcourt deflections. Backcourt deflections are so, so easily leading to transition opportunities. And Drew Holiday is a guy who can really, really help out with that. Javon Carter said a few as well, because like you mentioned, he's a great, great defender in his own right. But Drew Holiday, just his size, is able to read passing lanes, get in passing lanes before the pass is even made. And like you mentioned, just going and taking the ball. Do you remember when Kawhi was on the Spurs and I think Rudy Gay was on the Kings? There was a stretch where it was two plays in a row where Kawhi just like Rudy Gay tried to dribble the ball. Kawhi just took the ball and then went and got a dunk. And then the next possession, like after they inbounded the ball, Rudy Gay's bringing the ball up the court. Kawhi just takes the ball again and then goes gets an and one, and I think this time. Drew Holiday feels like.
Was both of it with one hand too?
Yeah.
Like he just like reached down and just like had the ball. Kawhi.
There was a stretch of San Antonio Kawhi where you could not dribble the ball near him. Drew Holiday is feeling like he's coming into that zone.
I'm going to have a great piece of Bucks trivia for you in a second, but I'm still working on it. I'm going to tee up you to talk about someone else, and this is a hilarious person for me to have you talk about in particular. I don't think there's anywhere else we could go second. Also, the stat is actually about Drew, so we'll have to circle back when I have it finished.
Okay.
But Drew's playmaking has just been excellent too. I don't want to tee it up too early, but speaking of playmaking – Rohan, you got freaking jingled, mate, because your free agency pod reaction and my takes, and I kind of joined you on this a little too quickly after Joe Ingles, obviously, I'm talking about, had kind of just gotten back healthy. And he's been incredible. Like, he has looked so good. I was joking in the Discord. Shouts to the GSPN Discord, gspn.info, to join that. A lot of discussion there. Also, a lot of discussion on our repod. You can find pod specific discussion there. We'll be posting about this episode every GSPN pod we post about. So come engage and chat about the episodes at Repod. Join Repod. Oh, is it .com? Oh, I don't have it handy. Join repod.com/GSPN. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it. Yep, I nailed it. I should have believed in myself.
But have some faith in yourself, Ty. I know. You're good at what you do, Ty.
Yeah. Well, thank
you. Have some confidence. You deserve some confidence.
I needed that gas up. Just like Joe Ingles needed a gas up from us. He didn't get it. Didn't matter. I guess he didn't need it. He's been really good. Like, really good. But I was joking in the Discord. Like, the ACL isn't as big of a deal. He just didn't have any athleticism to lose. I want to eat some crow on that, though. He outran Pascal Siakam in transition. Did you see what I'm talking about? I rewound it on the iPad. I'm an iPad watcher now, and I like it because I'll put my phone down, and if I need to rewatch something, I'll just rewatch and then catch up. I realized, like, I don't need to have the fastest speed on the game in the third quarter. It doesn't really matter. So it's been much more enjoyable to watch without distractions.
And then you can fast forward through commercials.
Yeah, exactly. It's been good. But I was like, did that really? And Siakam was in front of him when the rebound starts. And I don't think Siakam was trying, but still. Like, Ingles gets in front of him and then does the, like, soccer player, like, you're not going around me, you're not going around me, you're not going around me. And then slings a bullet to Jrue Holiday for a layup in transition. But Ingles has just been phenomenal lately. Like, everything they've needed offensively, it's been really impressive. So let's eat crow together on Joe Ingles.
I'll go first. Because I was the one who had the reaction, the famous what? Which is just famous. Ty, you have no idea how many people bring that up to me.
That's amazing.
So many people bring that clip up to me, Ty. Like, IRL people who are, like, not online will be like, hey, like, I saw that clip. And, like, like, hey, how's Joe? Every time Joe Ingles does something, I get a flurry of texts about, like, hey, are you watching Joe Ingles do this? So here, let me go on a little Joe Ingles thing. This is a positive pop. First of all, it was a win-win scenario for me. Either Joe Ingles is really good or I was right. So I couldn't really lose there. I set myself up really well there with that take. Two, there's still some concerns about maybe how is he going to hold up on the defensive end? How is he going to hold up against like super athletic guards? How long is he going to be able to keep this up? Is this just like found money? Is he going to slow down at some point? We have yet to see because like you mentioned, it's only been 13 games. However, in those 13 games, well, maybe not the first couple, but in these last stretch of games, like you mentioned, he has looked phenomenal. He has looked absolutely phenomenal. He's looked like the guy that we wanted to see. I was concerned that we were not going to be able to see this guy because of his age, because of his injury, because of his time off the court, because of not that he did anything bad off the court, but I'm just saying he's a fantastic person off the court. Support Joe Ingles. But in terms of like, he's missed so much time at his age. But there's also like, it was not a given that he was going to get back to this, which is why you and I had valid concerns about this. He looks like he's back, Ty. He looks like he's back. He looks like a guy who can command an offense. He looks like another ball handler, the guy that they were missing. When, like we've mentioned in the past, even with Chris Middleton on this team, this Bucks team, fully strength last season, needed more ball handling. They've needed more playmaking. They've needed more guys who are capable of making the right decision, capable of trusting him with the ball in his hands. Joe Ingles has looked like that guy. The way he reads an offense is spectacular. I think he might be the best passer on this team, Ty, in terms of reading and reacting to what defenses are giving him. The way he adjusts in real time to what a defense is giving him, you usually see, like, you'll see, like, James Harden does this. And James Harden, in his prime, fantastic, terrific playmaker, one of the best in the league, right? He will set a screen, see what the defense gives him. Then he'll be like, okay, I know what you're going to do now. Come here, set another screen. But that allows the defense to reset. Joe Ingles does not need the rescreen. He reads what the defense is doing in real time and makes adjustments accordingly in his drive, in his as he's a ball handler in the pick and roll. He will read what the defense is giving you. He will see where the help is going to come from. And I can't remember for the life. I should have written this down and done like an air video on it. But there was a play where Joe Ingles was making a pass to where the help was coming from before the help left. And I was like, what did I just watch? Because it was like he knew exactly where the help was going to come. I think it was a Brook Lopez roll. I'm going to see if I can find this later.
Yeah.
But I think it was a Brook Lopez roll. And then he knew exactly where the help was going to come from because Brook was about to roll into wide open space. And he made that pass before the defender even took off. And the defender still took off because they had to go help on the Brook Lopez roll. Because you're not going to assume that a guy's going to throw the pass to where you're going to help from. But Joe Ingles is that guy. He has been a terrific playmaker. He's been a good shooter. He's been what this team has needed. He's given them a massive, massive boost off the bench. He has commanded this second unit so, so well. In fact, sometimes the second unit looks more cohesive offensively. Even when Giannis is on the court, even when Giannis is playing, the second unit looks more cohesive because Joe Ingles is out there commanding the floor. All props to Joe Ingles. He has been fantastic.
And I'll say, too, you can't dispute the vision. And not just the vision, but like he's both got
– pass accuracy, yeah, tie is ridiculous. Yeah.
And those are separate things.
Every single one is on the money.
Like I think Giannis has improved in both. I still think – a lot of the time I think Giannis probably throws better passes. Like I think it's more about what he can – like the way he can throw passes than what he necessarily sees. He'll have some great cross-court stuff, but a lot of the Giannis great passes are like, okay, Giannis drives, and the help comes, and he like winds around someone and throws a bullet to the corner, right? Or like the Raptors game winner to Grayson, where he's falling down and throws a bullet.
That's fair. I think Giannis still might be the best passer on the team. Sorry, Chris. It used to be you. Chris.
Yeah. But I think the vision, it's not like Giannis is like seeing these things. You know, like you watch Jokic, and Jokic is like supercharged, big Ingles, also an elite scorer, just like a ridiculous player, honestly. But Jokic will throw like the, you know, two passes ahead pass that you're talking about that Ingles did. Giannis doesn't really do that as much. Giannis, it's like, I'm going to batter through your team, and if you send the help, I'll throw to the guy you're helping from if I feel like it. Not saying he's not a willing passer, he's just such a scorer that sometimes he doesn't always feel like throwing the pass, which is fine. But I think Ingles has both. Like, Ingles sees the vision and will execute, like, an insanely crisp pass. Like, the one I'm talking about to Drew in transition was, like, over the fingertips of a Raptors defender, but it was so on point and such a bullet. It just got right to Drew, and there was no chance of anyone making a play. And he really fires off some excellent passes. Like, the thing that I think it seemed like from what came out of camp and Horst's availability, John Horst's availability after they signed him, was like they're really excited about the playmaking, and you can see why. I will say, like Pat, his shooting is also picking up a lot. Unlike Pat, a lot off the dribble. Like, he's a more dynamic shooter than I think I realized. Like, very few, and I mean very few, by comparison. I mean, it's sure a healthy percentage total, but it seems like a lot of his shots are off the dribble, like going around a screen and then pulling up. He's so comfortable doing that. I didn't really realize he did that as much. That opens up even more because we just talked about how dynamic of a passer he is. But if you respect the role man or the help too much and you don't stick with him, like he doesn't hesitate at all. He'll go around a screen, fire away, and knock down threes. Like he'll get hot and knock down a couple of them. I mean, everything he does offensively right now is really dynamic and additive to this Bucks team. And defensively, I think largely he's been fine. I think there's going to be times where he just gets burned because of the, you know, subpar lateral movement because of his age. And you know, I don't know if that's really changed that much. But he's always been a good enough defender. And I think in the past has been a good defender.
Intelligent defender.
Yeah, he's strong and crafty. Drew a couple 3-point fouls on the Raptors that were hilarious. They got jingled just like we did. The jingled thing is fun. I love it. I'm all in.
He was talking so much trash to the Raptors, too.
Oh, yeah, that which is also incredible.
So much trash. It's just like, what was it? The Knicks game. the Knicks game he was getting, where he led the comeback.
Yeah.
That 17-point comeback, largest of the season for the Milwaukee Bucks. A lot of that was in part due to Joe Ingles and his shooting. He got hot right away. And he was just talking to the courtside fans. And it was so fun.
He's great. I think I posted, I'm swooning. Like, I'm actually swooning over Ingles. Like, what he's been doing, it's like, I remember my fascination with Wall this offseason?
Yeah.
Who's now on the trade block for the Clippers. That one hasn't aged super well.
Ingles he's been decent.
Yeah, I know. They're a weird team. Really weird team over there. But anyway, they Ingles has kind of given me a lot of what I wanted, though. Just like another playmaker who can also score. It probably doesn't score or playmake as much, like, volume-wise as Wall, but the playmaking might be honestly better, especially as Wall, who did rely a lot more on athleticism, kind of figures out how to continue playing well, which I think he's still a good NBA player, but certainly obviously not the John Wall we're used to.
You know what my favorite thing about Joe Ingles is, though,
that
we haven't mentioned? His slow drives.
Yeah.
Those are just, I don't know what, I don't know how he does that, but it's just, he just does it.
Yeah.
Like, he gets his space because I don't know. It's like the defense freezes. Like, they think he's going to pass, or it's like the Kyle Anderson thing where it's like, yep, you think he's going to move faster than he does, but yeah, he doesn't. Like,
you're giving him space because you assume he's going to be a little quicker than he is.
Yeah. He uses his slowness to his advantage. Like, no one does it quite as well. No. Slow-mo does it. But yeah, like Joe Ingles, he looks like Kyle Anderson out there on those drives.
You can tell he's so used to it because he's never been all that fast. Right. And it's like, he'll finish through contact really effectively because he probably always has had to some extent. Like, there was a play where he finished at the rim and he doesn't get the call, even though he probably should have. And I won't besmirch anyone. This is a positive pod, but I did compare him to a fellow Bucks wing player in the moment and said, like, that player would have probably thrown up a lob to the Raptors, just like feeling the contact, getting a little flustered, hoping for the whistle. Ingles just plays through and finishes the basket. Doesn't get the call, but you still get your 2 points there. It's like, he's a hooper. Joe Ingles is a certified hooper, like a really skilled player. I got to circle back to Drew. I found my stat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is a two-part guessing game for you. So, ooh, Drew is at 7.4 assists per game. How many seasons has it been? Or I'll say years to make it easier. How many years has it been since a Milwaukee Buck had 7 assists per game in a season?
Oh, my God. I don't think Bledsoe did it. Am I right in saying that?
You're correct in saying that. There are a lot of Bucks seasons where the leading assist per game guy had less than 6 in recent memory.
It's giving Shelvin Mack leading the Magic in assists at 3.9 energy.
It's not that bad, but it's not that much better.
I saw that the other day, and I just cracked up all over it.
So good. I can't believe they made a great – like, don't make that graphic. Come on.
Shout out Shelvin Mack, I guess.
Yeah.
But if it's not Bledsoe, it's not Drew, it's not Brandon Knight. And Brandon Knight never got up there.
Scored too much, yeah.
Yeah, he's too pure of a hooper.
Yeah, he really was. A lot of game winners that year. People forget. I never will.
He's posting a lot on Instagram nowadays.
Yeah, it looks like he's having a good life, man. I'm happy.
Yeah, I know.
Brandon Knight, come on the pod, by the way.
Do you also see John Henson works for like MSG?
No.
Yeah, he does like a studio show for MSG and was like hanging out with Bucks players before the game.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. Okay, but was it like, it's going to be someone random like Carlos Delfino or someone.
Carlos Delfino not getting that many assists. Let me see. Was he on this team though? No. I think it predates Carlos Delfino, actually.
What? Yeah. Was it? Oh, my God.
And by the way, this is not a full season. I was going to do at least 40 games, but I didn't want to seem like I was skewing the data. But I don't know how long you have to go back. I think you have to go back.
Gary Payton?
He is the second most recent player to do it in 28 games.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
So 15 years ago, in 07-08, Ramon Sessions in 17 games averaged 7.5 assists per game. 15 years. And again, only 17 games. Gary Payton, I think, played 28 games. He also averaged 7 assists per game. I think before that, I'm going to have to go. I'm guessing it's going to be the 01 era teams because I know that I'm blanking on his name now. Big Balls had He averaged over his Bucks career over seven
Sam
assists.
Cassell.
Sam Cassell. So I know Sam Cassell had done it. So that may be the last full season Buck to do it. But it's been 15 years since over any amount of games, any Buck has averaged seven or more assists per game. Really, like, meaningful for Drew to do that now. And really, again, like, proving he is a point guard. Shout out to Drew Holiday.
Is he like, the second best point guard the Bucks have ever had?
I mean, you know, if you look at their whole careers, yes. If you look at just Bucks, he's making some
Some Bucks, leeway. Not yet.
Not yet, but he's not that far off. He's not that far off.
The Bucks have not been a point guard heavy organization.
No.
I mean, they had Oscar, obviously.
Yeah, Oscar is the one who I think Drew is getting there. He probably has to do a little more. It's not Oscar played for. I mean, Oscar was still a great player, but
I mean, Drew's a Buck for life, so he's got time.
That is very true. I think the three guys on this team will end up being the three guys at their positions, no matter where you put Kareem. I mean, Giannis is already wherever you put Giannis, but
I mean, Kareem's a center, so
yeah, I think they fit next to each other just fine. Anyway, who else should we give flowers to? I picked Ingles. I kind of picked Drew as well. So your son, or who else is on your mind?
Of course, it's my son.
Okay, right? Yeah,
Grayson Allen. He says, F your trade machine. F your trade NBA, your fanspo trade machine. I'm going to go out there and hoop. And
yeah.
Grayson Allen has been hooping recently. Especially, he put up a tied for his season high in 25 with 25 points against the Raptors. He's had three straight double-digit scoring outbursts. In fact, he's had six of his last seven games have had double-digit scoring, which is something we hadn't seen from Grayson in a little bit now. He just looks like he's comfortable. We went through the growing pains this season of, okay, Grayson Allen, you're going to be an initiator. You're going to be the guy with the ball in his hands. You're going to be running an offense. And it led to a lot of people, including yourself, having an ire of like, oh my God, what kind of passes is he throwing? He looks uncontrolled on his drives. And it's been like, okay, well, hey, listen, give him some credit. This is new to him. They're asking him to do more than he's had to do in the past. The Bucks kind of realized that. They're like, okay, you're doing a little too much.
Yeah.
A little too much, your Grayson Allen. And they're like, okay, transition back to, if you have any space whatsoever, you need to shoot the ball.
Yep.
And that took a little bit of an adjustment for Grayson. He had to get back into that role. He had to get back into realizing, hey, off the catch, like it's tough because when you're going from, hey, I'm expected to do stuff with the ball in my hands to, okay, shoot the ball when I have the ball in my hands, it's a little bit of an adjustment. It's a mindset adjustment. It takes time that people weren't giving him enough credit for. Ty, sorry, I'm going to defend my son here.
All right. It's a positive pod. I won't bring up the tour dates that he was putting up before this most recent. So go ahead, Roman.
But he was putting up tour dates, Ty, because it's like it's a shift in game that you have to go through midseason. Like he's had to go through two shifts in the role he's expected to play midseason. And now he looks like and each time, like the first time, he found his groove after like a stretch of games. He was like, okay, now I'm more controlled. I'm finding my lanes. I know what to do when I'm driving. I'm making better passes. I'm making better reads. He gets there. Then he had to make an adjustment. Then there's going to be a rough stretch. But now he's getting used to it. He's used to this role. He's finding his shot again. And Ty, like, this looks like a guy who can be a really, really, really productive member of the Milwaukee Bucks. He is a guy who commands defense's respect. He also has the skills now, since he had the ball in his hands a lot earlier in the season, to attack off closeouts. He looks explosive off closeouts now. He's making wild finishes at the rim. Last night against the Raptors, he had like a double clutch, like up and under. And I was like, oh my God, Grayson. Like you look at Giannis's reaction on the bench. He couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
He had to like do like a double take. Like, oh my God, is that Grayson Allen? He's making those rim finishes, like these crazy rim finishes on the regular now. He looks so much more comfortable as like a tertiary like playmaker rather than a secondary. If he gets knocked down a peg, he looks so, so much more comfortable with the ball in his hands. And I think that is going to be very, very valuable come playoff time. What we saw against the Celtics last year in the playoffs was a guy who was not comfortable being asked to do a lot. In terms of like, okay, defenses are going to let me do what I need to do. I'm not entirely sure what to do here. Over the course of this season, he's built up those skills. He now knows what to do when he has the ball in his hands. He knows how to attack a bending defense. That's what the Bucks need him to do. The defense, the opposing defenses are always going to bend to Giannis. They're going to bend to Drew. They're going to bend to Chris, hopefully, when he comes back. Well, come on, Chris. Like, please, please get well soon. I know. Also, shout out to Eric Name. That was a great piece with Chris. It just seems like, and also, this is a positive pod. So let's just say, make sure you keep positive thoughts when you're thinking about players and why they're out due to injury. Like, don't assume the worst out of people. Maybe they do want to play. You should give them the benefit of the doubt, especially when it's a guy who might be like one of the top five players to ever play for your franchise and Chris Middleton. You know, have some respect in that regard. It's not Serge Ibaka or anything.
My goodness. I feel pretty good. I think it's not going to be too long before we see Chris. And that's where it seems like it's going. I mean, obviously no inside info, but.
I believe so too. But the defenses are going to bend to the big three. Grayson Allen needs to know what to do when the defenses bend to those three and how to take advantage. He looks like he knows how to do that now.
It's just so nice to see positive parenting in our society. And I just love to watch Rohan gush about his son. Grayson's played really well over his last seven games, averaging 14 a game on 56% three-point shooting, 2.7 assists per game, which, as you mentioned, I think that's notable because he does have the ball in his hands a lot less, I think, per game. He's being asked to handle it less, but he's still being able to connect and find good passes. But the scoring is the big one, and 3.4 rebounds. Grayson is, you know, against the Raptors late, came up with a couple big rebounds to help seal the deal, and really just has Dante-esque, like, big leaping rebounds, which can be beneficial.
And a very, very sneaky, great offensive tap-out guy on rebounds. Yeah. He's had a couple of big ones over the last stretch of games, which is like he just finds his way in there and is able to tap out rebounds.
He gets in the mix. Just,
he does get in the mix, and he's putting his effort in. Like, you can't say he's not trying out there. He's putting his full effort out there. And I will say, I see you, Grayson. I see you putting your effort there.
I also think, again, a player who Ingles has helped out a lot and the additional ball handling he provides. I think, you know, I'm really excited to see eventually, like, the Chris, Giannis, Drew, Ingles lineups, because then it's like, that's a lot. Like, how much fun could that be with your four playmakers and whoever else out there? I mean, really anyone. That's going to be a lot of fun when it ever happens. I was going to give you, and I know I keep circling back, but I was going to give you what the offense with Ingles and where that ranks for the NBA. Because obviously the Bucks' overall offensive rating is terrible. It's in the dirt this season. The Bucks have the up to 23rd ranked offense in the NBA. I was going to give you Ingles. I realized there's actually a player now after these last few games who has a better on offensive rating than Ingles on the Bucks, which I believe Ingles was first for about a week there. Do you know who it is?
Is it Bobby?
No.
Or is it Brooke?
It's Drew Holiday.
Oh, that dog.
Drew Holiday, the Bucks 115.2 offensive rating with Drew on. That would rank fifth in the NBA ahead of the Dallas Mavericks. Also, a plus 6.9 net rating in Drew Holiday's minutes. That would rank first in the league ahead of the Celtics. Like, that's how good they've played with Drew on. Again, with barely any Chris, with the last two games without Giannis. Like, he's been that good that they've been dominant in his minutes offensively. And, of course, a great defensive rating as well. Ingles, despite Lee being second in net offensive rating while he's on, 114.7, which I think would be, like, sixth in the NBA. So still very good. His net rating is still minus .1 because the defensive rating has not been great in those minutes. I think there's some bad early games that are still factoring in there, but cool to see Drew have that much of an effect offensively. But yeah, I think there's still a lot of potential just for getting healthy and seeing what that does to the offense. So I'm still not all that concerned about the Bucks offensive rating. Let's do some rapid fire here. I think we can bounce around a bit. I think we've got to go Brooke next. The headband was excellent. I mean, He said Gary Trent Jr.'s headband was talking to him. That's how he that's why he ripped it off.
No, not Gary Trent. What did he say? Steve Trent or whatever.
Yeah, I don't love that. After the last time a Buck intentionally misnamed an opponent.
No, 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 it didn't age well. It's a positive pod tie. It is a positive pod.
All right. But
let's not bring up the skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, fair enough. Outside of that, Brooke Lopez.
I also think Brooke Lopez has a higher degree of respect garnered for him than the other person.
Yeah.
And who I've lost complete all respect for after some allegations.
That's right. Okay, positive pod. Positive pod. Brooke Lopez.
Yes. Go ahead.
Third per game on the Milwaukee Bucks and scoring. Didn't expect to hear that before the year, even knowing – I mean, obviously, Chris is a big factor there, but 14.6 points per game, 6.3 rebounds per game, 1.2 assists for the big fella. We won't talk about the turnovers. 2.5 blocks, still swatting a ton of shots. And speaking of still, our guy is still knocking down threes. Had some huge momentum shifters against Toronto. 40.1% of his threes knocked down still. 44 games into the season for Brooke. And again, a player who his age, the back surgery, everything, has missed one game all season. Like, really an impressive all-around season. Also, sneakily almost leading the Bucks in two-point percentage at 59.5%. Higher than Giannis, higher than Bobby Portis. The only guys higher are George Hill and AJ Green, who are not exactly taking a ton of those shots per game. So Brooke has just been effective from everywhere offensively. Still, you know, can be a little slow to react to doubles and take some ill-advised shots from time to time. But his spacing being much more real this season has helped a ton without Chris and without other offensive personnel. And the defense continues to be spectacular. So Brooke Lopez, I mean, I did not expect him to be much better this season than last season, given the context and everything. But that's a credit to him and the Bucks conditioning and strength team that he looks fantastic. Like, he still has an all-star case. And it would be great if three Bucks go, I won't hold my breath. Maybe if there's a lot of injuries or something like that. But Brooke has been phenomenal this season.
I still think there's too many great guards in the East for Drew to really make it. So I'm still on the Brooke Lopez train for the Bucks second all.
We can do a full pod on this closer to when we find out, but like the Hawks guys shouldn't go. I mean, there's a bunch of teams that are just so underwhelming that they just, we'll see. It's up to the coaches, which is good for Bucks.
I mean, you've got Harden, I think Jaylen Brown's considered a guard.
Mm.
You've got Brunson, Mitchell, Garland, Halliburton. Like, that's already six.
I would take Drew over a couple of those guys.
Fair.
I'd take Drew over Garland. I'd probably take Drew over Brunson.
Really? I don't okay, here's the thing. Brunson's been putting up gaudy numbers. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll do a full pod. I'll just say again, and I know you know this, but just for listeners to understand where I'm coming from, the coaches decide this. And I think that is a big deal for Drew and even Brooke, who are like winning players more than they are flashy players. That's their best avenue in. Adam Silver will not help the Bucks. We know this.
No.
So injury replacements, we probably have no shot.
I think Adam Silver usually goes on like the next guy, though.
Yeah. Actually, he did put Chris in, bizarrely, didn't he? That wasn't that Silver? Or was that the coaches? Now I don't remember.
It was the coaches.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, that makes sense.
They usually go the next guy up, like in terms of like the coach voting. Silver always does the next guy, just to be fair.
If two Knicks and one Buck go, cancel the game.
I don't think two Knicks are going. I think it's just Brunson.
I'm hearing a lot about Randall.
Yeah, because he plays for the Knicks.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, positives.
Brooke Lopez, amazing, fantastic. Deserves all-star consideration. Deserves to be an all-star. Who's another guy we can touch on really, really quickly?
I want to talk about G. Hill.
G. Hill, yes. Let's talk about George Hill.
Again, a player who the shooting is picking up and the ball handling has been pretty indispensable, especially the games without Ingles. He has an outsized importance in that role, but even when Ingles plays, he's been good connective tissue. I know the story after the Pacers game was like Hill and Matthews, you know, dusted off. Is the Bucks saving or is Bud saving these two guys for the playoffs? And Wes, I'm not sure. I think Hill has
Wes looked good.
Looked good.
George he Hill looks like
6 minutes.
Yeah.
And then didn't play again against the Raptors. I don't know if he's being saved. Maybe. I don't know about that. But I think Hill is sort of being saved and also is just like dealt with injuries and, you know, who else is available at playmaker positions, I think matters a lot for his minutes. I think just generally, like, Bud has had a tough time because some guys just can't play. And it seems like outside of Wara, whoever doesn't play, it pisses people off. I mean, he has a rotation. There's a lot of good players on the roster, as Bud said, too. But Hill has had a positive impact. He's been good defensively. You know, he had some great switches and forced a steal or a turnover for Indiana late in that game. I think he had 9 points and 6 assists in that game. Like, that was, again, Ingles right now is not playing both ends of most back-to-backs. And Hill has stepped up in those situations and just generally looks like a good, helpful NBA player. Again, with Pat and Ingles, the three-point percentage looks really bad. I think, again, he started quite slow and has hit more since then. I mean, still not going to be a, you know, reliable, scorching scorer, but has come in and contributed and played really well and just been very sound, especially as the AJ Green positive pod
for sure. But it's very nice to see. He's a guy who we expected to take a little bit of a backseat now that Javon Carter has shown that he is very, very capable of being the backup point guard for this team. But it's still nice to have George Hill. I've always called him, during his Bucks tenure, a security blanket, like a weighted blanket for this Milwaukee Bucks team. He's still a weighted blanket, but your anxiety is getting better, sort of thing, where it's like you don't need it as often, but when it's there, it's still super nice.
Is that a look into Rohan Kadi?
I don't have a weighted blanket, though.
Oh, but shoot. Like, I didn't like it. I got my fiance a weighted blanket, and I tried it. And I was just like, it's just a heavy blanket. I think I have a simple one. I was like, it's just a heavy blanket. I don't need this.
Like, I've used a weighted blanket before, and it's like when you're kind of stressed out, it does feel really nice.
I don't know if I lay down enough.
Maybe like, I obviously, hopefully it doesn't happen. But if you're ever feeling like you're not in a great mood, then try it.
Okay. Well, I don't know where it is, but I'll try to dig it up. And I don't think she's loved it either.
But George Hill, George Hill is he's been really good. He's been really good in the role that he's been having, which is, it's more reduced than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But it's still a role, and he's still really, really good in that role. And it's so nice to see. Like, this team is really starting to come together. Like, you're starting to see where guys fit, where guys, like, okay, we put this guy in this spot with this many minutes with these guys, these type of players next to him. It makes sense. And it's all starting to come together, Ty.
Yeah. Bobby Portis, I think just quickly, the three-point shot, as I mentioned, still not falling. But he just does a lot of work in the paint for a team that needs that. You know, the Bucks, if Serge is just gone, we don't exactly know what's happening. But, you know, I think they still could use a guy who can play drop coverage a little better. That's not Bobby's forte at all. There's been some tough defensive moments, but moving on, you know, scoring a lot, still averaging a double-double, just barely 14 and 10.0 rebounds, but we'll take it. 2.6 offensive boards per game, which leads the Bucks. Giannis leads in overall rebounding. 56% from two, huge energy, big impact plays. You know, Bobby has been indispensable. There are people who include him in fake trades. You know, I think unless there's like a legitimate star coming back, he's not going anywhere.
Unless you're getting Paul George, no.
That'd be fun. Siakam, yeah. You know, there's guys where you could talk me into it. Wow, Rohan's not sure about Siakam for Bobby Portis. That's a good headline. But yeah, I think overall has been indispensable. And you can see, you know, even though the fit isn't perfect, especially with the shooting – right now, and we still hope that maybe, you know, Brooke can get him in with the Noah or something and we can fix that. But Bobby has just been great and continues to step up when they need him most of the time.
For sure. He's always going to be fighting down low. He's always going to be he does the work, like you mentioned. It's just, I don't know, like sure, like there's a bit of a defensive issue, but it's not as bad as it used to be. Like year one, Bobby Portis, like it's not that. Like he's gotten better. I don't think it's as good as last season.
The defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. Might be a little.
I think it's regressed a little bit, but I think it also has to do with like the personnel around him.
And also he was more consistently asked to play the five last year because of the Brook injury, and this year I think maybe that security, that weighted blanket, that's a lot of weight. Sorry, no offense, Brook Lopez, big guy. I think maybe that when you don't have it on now this year, it's like, oh God, I'm not used to this. Who knows? But yeah, I would agree. I want to challenge you as we end this pod.
Ooh.
Positive pod. Jordan, talk about Jordan. Oh my, I gave it away. Rohan, talk about Jordan Wara.
Jordan Wara is really increasing his trade value.
We'll do a full trade pod soon. That didn't seem to make sense in the positive pod, but knocking down some threes, 41% best since his rookie year. Yeah,
that's mean. That's rude of me. It's true. It's true, but it's also like, hey, I mean, if you're increasing your trade value, it means you're playing well.
Yeah,
like,
don't look at the 2-point percentage. Just knocking down threes. He's
making defensive plays as well.
He's got good hands. He's getting back.
And it looks like he's actively engaged on the defensive end. There's still some lapses. He's still going for some. He's still like trying to get some errant steals, which it's like you had no chance of getting.
Huge 2K energy on a lot. Like it's even like the 2K animation where you're like, you don't need to lunge your whole body to go for a steal. That is what we've seen.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you still have some of those, but it's drastically improved over what we've seen. Like his defensive energy looks great. Like his offense has never really been the issue aside from like certain shot selection. But like it's mostly been like being engaged on the defensive end, not being a complete and total traffic cone on the defensive end. And he looks like he's really trying. He's also like offensively, he's moving well.
Yeah.
He's finding people well. Like he's actually like passing the ball, moving the ball.
He's an NBA player, I think, which is like it sounds demeaning, but 45th overall pick was not that, I think, before earlier this season. Just didn't fit really well in the offense. He's been a productive NBA guy, and I still think has shown enough tools that a team is probably going to want to, like, can we give him a bigger role and see what happens? And maybe he'll be a good, useful offensive role player for a long time. Who knows? I don't think he's going to get the reps to do that with the Bucks, but you know, it's looked good in the, like he scored when they've needed him to score, which does mean something in the league.
And also it's like, he's a little bit foul prone too. But it's like a couple of them, like against the Raptors, it's like, he's trying to take a charge. Like he's trying to get in good defensive positioning.
A couple and of good possessions like against Siakam.
Exactly. There was one possession where it's like Pascal tried to like size him up, take him, and Jordan, he was moving his feet. Well, he was staying in front of him. Pascal had to pass out of it. I mean, given later in the possession, Pascal drew a foul on Jordan Wara.
Yeah.
But it was like that isolation. It's like, yeah, Jordan Wara, you held your own there. Congratulations. Good job. Like, that sounded really sarcastic.
Wara, 6 foot eight.
I didn't mean that to be sarcastic.
6 foot eight wing player who can shoot. I think maybe checks a lot of boxes for Toronto. We'll see what happens there. But if they move Gary Trent, could you not see them doing the DJ Wilson, trying to do the reclamation project on Wara?
I mean, I could see it. Like, Masai is like, he's like, he sees someone where he's like, I have a second round pick I can develop into something. He's like, why are they not on my team already?
Yeah. I mean, hey.
I mean, credit to Masai. It usually works out for him.
Not as much lately, but yeah, in the past, for sure. Malachi Flynn caught a DMP, I think. Let's move on.
Hey, we saw Joe Wieskamp out there. Not on the court, but like he was out there. I think I don't know if you saw, I tweeted a picture of him and Mamu catching up.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't see that, like, actually.
It's a cool herd reunion going on there.
Yeah. I don't think he's played at all with the Raptors. He played one game with the 905 and played well, and they did give him a second 10-day before the game. So whatever they're seeing that they like, even though he hasn't really played for Toronto itself much at this point.
Yeah, but it was nice. It was nice to see him out there, herd alum.
I mean, maybe there'd be some minutes if the Raptors weren't. What did Van Vliet play, like 80 some minutes over a back-to-back?
Bro, Nick Nurse needs to be arrested.
Like, they're fouling down 6 with 3 seconds left. Why? Like,
have some respect.
He's just running those guys into the dirt. I mean, it's like, it's not good.
And you can see why there's like a little bit of tension there. And I think I
wanted to ask you this, actually. And I know we have got to wrap pretty soon here, but did it seem to you like the Raptors bark at each other a lot? Like, I was watching the game on TV, and you would see, like, a Buck would get to the rim and make the shot. And I would just see, like, OG or Scotty or other guys just, like seemed like just yelling. And I was like, maybe that's just coverage thing. I don't know. But look kind of aggressive.
It, like, the body language was not great.
Like, I'm watching this, and I've seen earlier in the year, people are like, it's national media is blowing smoke where there is none. The Raptors are fine. Chemistry issues. I'm like, they're yelling at each other on the court in front of you. What are you talking about? Maybe, I don't know, maybe everyone's kind of accepted it since earlier in the year or late last year or whatever. But I was like, yeah, I could buy into there being some chemistry issues. They are actively yelling at each other when they give up baskets. That's not ideal.
Yeah, it's very less than ideal, but I think that's where we can wrap this up here. Say thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on GSPN and Blue Wire Podcast. Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening to this or watching this on YouTube. Make sure to check us out on Repod, like Ty mentioned up top. Join repod.com/GSPN. Am I missing any plugs? GSPN.info for all things. Yeah,
whatever you forgot to say. YouTube watchers, thank you. Give us a thumbs up and subscribe.
Yes. 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. Pod random, and we will talk to you next time.